This is Issues and Ideas here on KCBX Central Coast Public Radio. I'm Randall White. From the moment Central Coast Congresswoman Lois Capps announced her plans to retire at the end of this term, candidates looking to fill her spot began to announce their intentions to run. KCBX is inviting each registered candidate onto the show, Issues and Ideas, in order to share their visions for the 24th Congressional District. And if you don't know, it includes all of San Luis Obispo County, Santa Barbara County, as well as a portion of Ventura County in the Los Padres National Forest. Assemblyman Cacho Ashajian from San Luis Obispo is one of two Republicans currently vying for the seat, and he joins us on today's studio today to share his thoughts on how he could best serve the area should he be elected to Congress in November 2016. Welcome to Issues and Ideas.
Thank you.
As a member of the State Assembly, you have to work with Democrats in order to get anything passed. Should you be successful a little more than a year from now, how might your bill proposals and political strategies change when you could be part of the majority in Congress?
Time will tell. It's been, even though I've been a member of the minority in the Assembly level, but I never look at myself as a minority. I always look at myself a member of the Assembly. And my bills have gone through, being able to work with all concerned, and that's the mentality I take with me to Washington. Being a member of a majority, obviously it will have its advantages, but not to take it for granted.
And one of the bills that you've had signed by the governor had to do with groundwater here in the state. We're in a fourth year of historic drought, of course, in California and here on the Central Coast. And you've been instrumental in groundwater legislation, but clearly the state's water management updates are not complete. What do you believe still needs to be done in order to assure farmers, residents, the environment, and industry have a secure supply of water heading into the future?
We need to do better outreach. We need to raise the consciousness of those who use water, from residents to farmers. We want to be sure that our farmers haven't become the endangered species, that we're doing everything within our power to help them out. Just think that agriculture is our number one industry in San Luis County, but it is also countrywide, and that we feed a lot of people. So we need to give that a serious consideration as how to help them. And in many areas, if we take politics out of the water, we'll have more water than we think we have, such as the Delta smeltfish that's caused so much lack of water reaching the valley farmers, and they've been suffering quite a bit. In the areas that suffer from true water drought, we need to put a management in place. And that's my bill itself brings forward a local decision maker's way of managing their own water rather than have state come into your face and tell you what to do about it. So hopefully we'll do that. And those who do that, we have $1.1 billion in place as an emergency fund for water. It means anybody that has a shovel-ready project or anything to do with drinking water, saving water, they can apply, such as City of Santa Barbara just received something like $2 million for their water project. So there's money available on the state level, and all those communities who have water management system that in the process, they should apply for those funds while they last.
Do you feel like people will play by the rules if the state doesn't step in? I'm thinking about the water district in Tracy right now that was just fined, was it $1 million for not obeying the state when the state said to stop pumping?
It is a serious matter, and people who are looking for water management for their base, they need to be serious about it. There is no joke. And the whole idea of my bill was to help you have that local say, rather, even if it's considered another layer of government, but it's a local layer because you don't have a choice but to have that layer. Otherwise, there was a bill that came through after mine. It's by Assemblyman Dickinson and Senator Pauley that says if you don't have a management in place, the state will come and manage it for you. And last year, the budget included something like $10 million by the governor to have his own people, new hires, to go location to see who is not complying and who doesn't have a management in place, and there will be your management team, and you don't want to see that.
The governor's tunnel project is controversial. Where do you sit on that moving forward?
I haven't supported the tunnel because of the cost and the way it's designed. I think it will be much less expensive if we take the politics out of it, to strengthen the levees and deliver that water to the valley farmers ASAP and then start thinking for the long term.
Do you believe that the infrastructure that we currently have in place is as up to date as it needs to be. It was his father that put it in decades ago, and it was controversial then, but we've certainly used it to its fullness.
We have used it at its fullness, but time has changed. Every year or every time we had a drought, it's worse than the time before, just like the economy. So we have failed to build reservoirs, storage. Every time it has rained, it's washed to the ocean. We haven't been able to maintain and save any of that water. So the bond measure that passed last year by California Waters was $7.5 billion, and that has $2.7 billion in it for storage. We need not to waste any time. We need not to waste that money into studies. We need to build those storages ASAP in order to save any water. Especially the thought is that next year we'll have an El Nino year. We need to save every inch of that water that possibly can be saved.
What are your thoughts on desalination as they are moving forward with in Santa Barbara?
I'm very much supportive. I was on Coastal Commission for 4 years, and I was a member of the team that supported, member of the commission that supported the Carlsbad San Diego desal plant. That was a $1 billion project, which also created a lot of jobs. And once it's in operation, it's going to save a lot of money for every resident to the tune of probably a dollar a day. That's the cost once the water is delivered for you to maintain your needs in your home. It's doable. The ocean is here. We can be environmentally friendly as how we use the outtake the water from the ocean, and it can be done.
Speaking of Santa Barbara, voters there, at least along the county's south coast, may not be as familiar with your political career, but they will be. They are part of the 24th District. Many, following May's oil spill, are concerned with the future of oil production in the Santa Barbara Channel. What is your vision for the industry as it pertains to oil in the channel?
Unfortunately, when an oil spill takes place, it does create a devastating to the shore and the fish and the people who enjoy their time on the beach. But oil is also something we depend on. Till such time that we have absolutely no need for oil, I will be in support of oil drilling. And those lines that go through the coast, we want to be sure that just like your local gas stations, underground tanks are double wall. And as time goes on, as their age, the replacement should be double wall. And I support that they all have shutoff valves.
Automatic shutoff valves?
Yes. Mm-hmm. The incident that happened in Santa Barbara, if the shutoff valves were in place, the damage would not have been as bad as it was. And we need to go after those who caused it. If it was a maintenance problem, why it wasn't taken care of, or those who ignored it, they should be penalized criminally so that we put an end to the spillage. Accidents can happen. And also in Santa Barbara, it was in the local paper about a year ago, there was natural spillage. So that can happen too. So, and when that happens and you have us drilling for oil, maybe we will help that. But we got to be very careful, use the best technology available for us to be sure that there's least amount of accidents taking place.
Phillip 66 is proposing a rail spur to the company's Santa Maria refinery that's just west of Napomo. Communities along the Southern Pacific line to the south and to the north have expressed concern, written concern, over the increase in oil trains that this project would create. If you were on the San Luis Obispo Planning Commission today, how would you vote on that project?
I am not on the Planning Commission today. But I was a county supervisor, and we always followed the environmental impact report, which I haven't seen. That should give you some guidelines as to what are the problems and how can you address them. If they're addressable, fine. If not, then you got to look at where to go with those. So it's very important that the environmental impact report, the CEQA, California Environmental Quality Act, those are all in place, and they're studied very well before any decisions should be made.
PG&E is currently asking the Nuclear Regulatory Commission to renew its operating permits for the two reactors at Diablo Canyon Nuclear Power Plant. Are you more in the camp with those who stand behind studies that support PG&E's assertion that the plant is seismically safe, or those who are expressing concern, and that includes current 24th District Representative Lois Capps and one of your former colleagues, State Senator Sam Blakesley, who is an earthquake scientist?
Well, I've been a supporter of PG&E, but as a local resident, I'm also concerned. As long as it's safe and sound, I wanted to see it move forward. and then its economic impact on the local economy, especially in San Luis Obispo County. So you got to put all in place and see where is the balance. But the bottom line is we want to be sure that it's safe and secure. Otherwise, it will be devastating if an accident was to take place, because personally, all of my belongings are here. All of my families are here. I have no place else to go, so I don't want to move.
You've been busy in Sacramento. It was Sacramento's busy season, so you haven't had a lot of time to do fundraising. And mm-hmm. when it comes to the amount of money raised by the various candidates running for Lois Kapp's seat, currently you're near the bottom. That won't continue. But how do you feel when it comes to transparent campaign fundraising? There's a lot of secret money in politics today. And how will you make sure that your campaign is open with where the money's coming from?
Today is more transparent than it's ever been. If you want to know where each penny came from, you can just go on FPPC's or FEIC's file and find out that who paid who and how much. And the regulations are so stiff that we cannot take corporate money. We can only take so much. You can only give a candidate $2,700 per election per year. So, but you can give twice before primary and general for a tune of $5,400. Those are all in place. Any violation, and you'll be penalized. Yes, I was the last one to announce. I'll announce April of this year. Well, there were candidates who were running from the year before and or announced much earlier. And being busy in Sacramento did not help me to get active right away, because, as I said then, my priorities were my job as assemblyman, especially that it was budget time. During budget time, we don't even try to be with family members. That's how busy we get. And that was no surprise to us, but we were able to raise close to $100,000. But now that I'm on a little break, we move forward, and we have several fundraisers in place, scheduled. I think the second time around we'll show different figures.
The rules that you were just running down there when it comes to campaigns, that has to do with money that an individual candidate raises, right? But not money that might be raised by a PAC that could then support the candidate.
There are different PACs. There are small PACs that can give you $5,000. There are big PACs. But usually PAC money doesn't come in until after primary is over. And those are not easy money to gain. And it all depends who the candidates are and what are the possibilities of the candidate to win or lose. They do a good study about the candidates before they spend that money. And later on, there are IEs, independent expenditures, comes into picture. But we as candidates wouldn't know who they are and why. But obviously, they like your philosophy. They like your record. They like how you think, your business background, or whatever it is that they're looking for. They do decision based on that, and that money can be enormous against you or for you.
And this is nearly a 50-50 district, so a lot of experts are saying that this could be an expensive race post-primaries.
Very much so. By the end of the day, it can be up to $6 million. Mm. They say this will be number one race in California and number 20 yet in the nation. Scary.
Assemblymember Cacho Ashajian running for the 24th Congressional District. Thank you so much for being on Issues
Thank
and
you.
Ideas.
My pleasure.
And you are listening to KCBX Central Coast Public Radio. I'm Randall White.